It's the perfect season. And perhaps the sweetest premiership of all. A strike around the body. P.S. he loves it. They've got the chocolates and he might have the chicken.
All right, gather around, gather around. Look each other in the eyes. Put your game faces on and strap yourself in because it's time for the Monday Waffle Podcast.
Oh, yes, it is indeed time for the Monday Waffle Podcast. Welcome. I hope you're loving the intro as much as we still do. If you're not, let us know at the Facebook page. We'll think about changing it, but you have to let us know at the Facebook page first. This week, joined by myself, Andrew Murdoch, and Grady Wolf. Grady, hello to you.
Hi, Andrew.
Oh, it's good to have your company. Grady, before we get stuck into the football, the highlight of your weekend?
Part of my weekend was actually going to a lot of waffle games.
Oh, excellent. Really okay, cool. So mixed the two together. Yeah. I understand you're also at work experience. You had your first day of work experience at Mix 94.5 this week. How was that?
Today was great. I had such a good day. I'm pretty shattered right now. I'm pretty exhausted.
Pretty tired, long day, but that's all right.
Always have time for the Monday waffle. How was your experience?
Oh, also doing work experience at 6PR and yeah, loved it as well. It was a great experience. I feel like more comfortable doing this podcast now. I've had a bit of experience at the professional establishment.
We love chatting to you.
Okay, moving on. First of all, in the show today, we give you a recap of the weekend's results as always and take stock of the ladder. Then a chat I'm very much looking forward to with the West Australians sports guru, Steve Butler.
Stevie Butler is one of the funniest people I've ever met. I had the pleasure of spending Saturday with him and he's a legend.
That is good to know. We also chat to Claremont star or budding star, Harry McCracken, who's back into the league side for the first time this year, who was back for the first time for their win on the weekend. And also something that came out of that game we're going to chat about a bit is Gerald Ugel's Facebook post following. He copped a fair bit of slack from some Claremont supporters at that game and he did follow it up on his own social media account. We're going to chat about that as well. We'll also cast our eyes forward to next week's fixtures and then, of course, the famous Monday Rumble. All right, Grady, first of all, getting stuck into the games, you were actually at the East Perth Eagles game on the weekend.
I was. It was freezing on Thursday night. It was about, what felt like, 2 degrees.
15, Game of Thrones weather.
Game of Thrones weather. Hot chocolate in bed weather, not football weather. But the boys did well. They all played pretty well. And, Eagles, what was the result?
Well, East Perth defeated the Eagles by 34 points, which is a very, very important second win for the Royals. Hopefully kickstart their season a bit more.
The Eagles' former club as well.
That's right. Rowan Kerr and Patrick McGinnity were amongst the best for the Royals. So it was sort of a bit of Eagles misfiring. You know, they've got a lot of young players, so sometimes they might fire, sometimes they might not, or maybe not give enough credit to East Perth, who did very well to secure their win.
Yeah.
Claremont got up over Peel Thunder, and we'll be dissecting this game a little bit more closely with Harry McCracken, as we said, who's joining us a little bit later on. But also, Gerald Ugel, who's the captain of Peel, was the target of some Claremont fans and took to social media after the game to kind of express his displeasure at what he copped. And I'll read you his Facebook status now, Grady.
While you get that ready, I might go through the rest of the games.
Yep.
So Perth was beaten by West Perth at home, at their home ground, by 31 points. See, if they had have won this one, they would have been top of the ladder. top of the ladder. But unfortunately, they went down, and so did Subi. First time they've lost in over 600 days, Andrew. They lost to South Freo at their home ground of Leaderville.
Unbelievable.
It was a massive shake-up this weekend. The boys obviously felt the cold in both Perth and Subi.
So Gerald Ugel's status was been struggling mentally the past couple of years, but I've never come off a footy ground feeling lower than I did today. I've dedicated pretty much my whole life to the game I love, and to be absolutely rubbished in front of my son and wife is absolutely disappointing. People don't think about the impact they have on someone's mental well-being. We're going to have a chat to Steve when he joins us about this incident. He was at the game, but from what I understand, it was a group of about 20 supporters who were on a balcony that overlooks the ground, so they weren't actually in the ground.
I did see this. It was horrible.
I don't know the full story, but yeah, during Gerald Ugel, very specifically sort of targeting, not just him, but they were cheering for Claremont, but also targeting Gerald Ugel whenever he got near the ball. Obviously, he felt really sort of hurt by the thing, like by what they were doing. And it was disappointing for him.
They targeted a lot of the players, but they just weren't nice in the way they did it. So it was unfortunate because Peel, when they were kicking down that end, these men just like roared up after everything and had something to say about every player. And it was absolutely horrible. Like even Griffin Logue, that they were just shouting things at him the whole game. And as a defender, like as a player, surely that does have some impact. So
absolutely.
I'm excited to see what Steve has to say, because being there myself, it was horrible. I wanted to run up there and tell him to shush.
Yeah. So probably a bit of a
takes away from the game.
Regrettable day for those ones, but also draws into question, where is the line when you're jeering an opponent or a spectator that is for the other team that you're not going for? And it kind of blurs the line there a bit. The last game of the round, Grady, we haven't mentioned, was East Fremantle getting their first win of the season. So very exciting for the Sharks against
Good
Swan.
Good on the Sharks.
Against Swan Districts, leaving them both down the bottom of the ladder, though, on one win each. George Hampson, who we had on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, plays for Swan Districts, did very well, 25 possessions and a goal, but not enough to get up over his old side, who he left over the off season in a bit of controversial
circumstances. Wonder if he got booed.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know, wouldn't it?
Maybe we'll have to find out. Andrew, what's the ladder looking like, given Perth shook it up a bit for us, not winning and going to the top of the ladder?
Perth could have had the sole position on top of the ladder, which would have been an absolutely mighty effort for them. But instead, we have three teams perched upon the top of the ladder in Subi, South Freo and Perth, all on 5 wins and 1 loss. Then Claremont in outright 4th. On 4-2, Peel in outright 3rd on 3 wins and 3, followed by Eagles and East Perth, followed by on 3 wins each, and West Perth, sorry, on 3 wins each, and the Swannies, East Freo, on just the 1 win each. But what we've seen is a lot of sides that are really competing against sides that we're not expecting. And so it's a really even competition. It feels like anyone can beat anyone on their day. So it's really exciting for us.
It's really good. Being at the games as well, you can see there's no certain winner at the moment. Even like as you sit there, there's no one dominating. There's certain players who are obviously dominating each game, but there's no team that is absolutely going out and ripping the other team to shreds every week. So it's nice and even this year. It's good to see.
Very good to see. One thing we should mention as well is that WA weren't able to get over the top of South Australia in the Waffle versus Sandful match last weekend, which is why there was a general buy across the fixtures and also why we didn't have a podcast.
The conversions were not great. I saw the end of it before the Dockers game and they just couldn't turn it
Missed
over.
Missed their opportunities.
Missed every opportunity. So they did well to keep in it. There was only, I think, 9 points in the end or something like that, but they did well. Good on the boys, but unfortunately did not get up. But the South Australian team had the likes of Daniel Pearce, Cam Sutcliffe, ex-Dockers players. So there you go.
Moving on the Monday Waffle. We're joined on the line now by Steve Butler, a man who has been analysing the Waffle for many years and knows the ins and outs of the competition better than just about anyone. You'll also, of course, recognise his name from the back pages in the sports section of the West Australian. Steve, thank you for being on the Monday Waffle.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks for having me.
First of all, before we get into the football, and we've already had a bit of a chat about it already on the podcast, but I understand you were at the game between Peel and Claremont on Saturday. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And can you just explain to us, from your eyes, the situation with Gerald Ugle and also your understanding a bit of the fallout as well since Saturday?
Yeah, Gerald Ugle's a player that I respect enormously. He's been a fine ambassador for the game, I think, in his young years. I think he's only 26 years of age now. And he, by his own admission, on his Facebook post on Sunday morning or Saturday night, has had a pretty rough time for the last couple of years. Now, we haven't been able to expand. I did touch base with him yesterday and had a quick chat with him, but he didn't want to say anything more on the record. And he was getting a pretty relentless targeting verbally from a group of supporters up on the balcony, which is a pretty unique place at Claremont Oval because there's some apartments overhanging the ground, which doesn't happen in any other ground. It's a bit like Waverley out at Hawthorn, actually, but not dissimilar there. But, you know, they gave him a fair going over the day. There's no suggestion of any racial taunting or anything like that, but they gave him a fairly good verbal sledging most of the day. They were mockingly chanting his name, etc. And I remember looking down at Gerald during the last quarter when he came off for a breather on the bench, and he was a pretty forlorn figure. He was—he looked a pretty shattered man, and you knew something was eating at him, that's for sure, and that's obviously come to pass.
Yeah. And do you sort of think the spectators crossed the line and should have known when to cut themselves off?
Or? It's a really difficult one. They probably, I would say, wouldn't have known that he's been going through some mental health issues, which he's admitted.
Yeah.
And I know that the club have been, Peel Thunder have been helping him through a few of those issues at the moment. So it is a fine line. I mean, it was a relentless targeting of one bloke, which I don't think's overly clever.
Yeah.
I think they're probably better off putting their energies into supporting their team, Claremont, who were absolutely fantastic on the day. If you're targeting a player who's the captain and a pretty well-respected one who played for the state side only last week against South Australia, it's not something I would do, that's for sure.
Yeah. No worries. And turning our attention to the football now, South Fremantle finally knocked off Subiaco, their first loss for Subi since the 2017 grand final. How were they able to do it, and what can other sides learn from it, do you think?
Yeah, it's been a long time. Oh, look, it's been coming a little bit. There's been some other clubs that have played pretty well against them during the year. Swan Districts played really well against them. Perth played really well against them. South Fremantle found the key, obviously, and knocked them over. But I don't think they're quite the same Subiaco team that they were. And obviously, they've got a new coach, Bo Wardman, and Jared Schofield's gone over there to be an assistant at Port Adelaide. And look, I think all of us agreed that Jared Schofield was a mighty coach and a mighty leader of men. Now, not casting any aspersions against Bo Wardman, because he seems to have their respect as well. And, you know, he's only early in the fledgling stages of his coaching career. But, oh, look, you can have a loss there. I don't think it's going to change too much about Subiaco's chances throughout the season. I just think it shows that they can bleed. And, I think it was a few years ago in the AFL, we saw Alistair Clarkson saying, if you can, or even some others, if it bleeds, you can kill it.
Yeah. So I reckon that'll give a bit of hope to some of the other clubs that they're not just this unbeatable Goliath. And they also managed to restrict their scoring. They only scored 61 points, which I think is their lowest for the season. So a pretty good effort there from South Freer.
Yeah, look, Swan Districts are 6 points up on them down at Basso a few weeks ago at three-quarter time as well, and only just got beaten. So, look, I think there's some elements there of the competition that think they've not only improved, but they've bridged the gap to what Subiaco's talent base is. So, you know, it makes for a cracking season. I mean, you couldn't have had some wilder results on the weekend, could you?
I know. It's unbelievable. It's a phenomenal, like, sort of round and season so far as well. And speaking of that, what has you most excited as a spectator and lover of the Waffle this year?
Look, I just think it's a hard, very decent competition. I get to see it from the sidelines as a boundary rider for Channel 7, and I just think it's a really hard, consistent, week-in, week-out good competition, and I love that. I actually really just look forward to going to work and watching the footy. I liked East Fremantle's win on the weekend. Someone told me it was 347 days since their last win, so it was great to see them. And they played some reasonable footy early this year too. They probably had a game and a half of pretty average footy, but they've played some reasonable footy coming up. They've cleaned the house a little bit. They've got some young talent coming through, so that excites me a little bit to see them coming through. And West Perth beating Perth and stopping their unbeaten run through 2019 so far, that always excites me, being a good Cardi boy too.
Is there a player in particular that has surprised you this year and why, or got your attention?
Oh, I love Michael Bennell.
Yeah.
He's just amazing to watch. I mean, he's a forward presence. And I actually like his combination with Cody Ninyet, actually, for Perth. I really enjoy seeing a bit of that. I'm not sure whether anything else. I'm always marvelling at Tony Knott for Swan Districts. Yeah. He just never does anything wrong. He keeps enduring, and he's an amazing player, Tony Knott. So I love watching him play too. But, if you have to point out an excitement machine this year, it'd have to be Michael Bennell.
Yeah, and leading Perth very well in a really exciting season for them. How do you think the Eagles side has slotted into the competition, and how do you think that's gone down?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think at times, because of their talent, you're going to see them really get some momentum in games because they've just got the raw talent. And even Peel, who didn't play particularly well on the weekend against Claremont, you see that their talent gets them up and going for periods of the game too. But I think West Coast have got a bit of learning to do. I think the longer they play together, the better they'll get, and the longer they learn their systems, etc. So it's a work in progress still, for sure. They've got a very good coach in Luke Webster, and I think they're probably going in the right direction, but it'll take a little while for us to really see how they go. And a bit like Peel, there's a lot of ins and outs each week too that you've got to respect from the injuries at the AFL level.
Excellent. And moving on to a bit of quick hands or quick fire questions for you, Steve. There's a segment on the Monday Waffle called the Monday Rumble. Have you ever heard of it?
I haven't.
I'm looking forward to it already. That surprises me. No, it doesn't surprise me at all. But it's a segment where we do each week where we tackle each side of an issue in the game. So I'm going to fire off about three or four of the ones we've had early in the year, and you can give me your quick opinion on those, and then I'll get you to have a little go at this week's topic as well. Should the Waffle have more games on Thursday nights, Friday nights and Sundays, do you think?
Oh, I'm not necessarily big on that. I mean, it's difficult to fixture around the AFL, which obviously takes so many people's attention. So I'm not so sure spreading them out's really going to work, particularly midweek. I'm not sure how many more people are going to go to a midweek Waffle game, particularly during the cold of winter.
Absolutely. That's kind of what we surmised as well. Socks up or socks down as on a footy player?
Definitely up.
Up. Traditionalist, that's good. What about long sleeve
shirts? Even for a bogan country boy like myself.
Long sleeve Guernseys as well. Are you a fan of those, or you prefer the singlets?
Well, my friends used to sledge me quite relentlessly for wearing my long sleeve summer Guernsey on hot days. So
yeah,
it didn't get me too many Brownlow medal votes, I know that. But yeah. I'm definitely happy with a long sleever.
Anzac Day football overall, yes or no?
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the consent.
It's one of our nation's great days. Why not celebrate it with one of our great sport, our greatest sport?
Yeah. Is the fairest component of best and fairest awards, especially at club levels, still relevant?
Bit of a non-issue, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can see why people want to play the semantics, but I think it's a bit of a waste of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And lastly, and one that we're going to chat about a bit later on, is where is the line when jeering a player is concerned as a spectator in your eyes?
I think you've just got to be reasonably respectful. There's no, in terms of religion, race, that sort of stuff is certainly non-negotiable. And probably, I'm not a big fan of the relentless hounding.
Yeah. Well, Steve, thank you very much for being on the Monday Waffle. We appreciate it.
No, great pleasure. Anytime.
Play on to the umpire.
Not the best segue between segments, that little stinger, but we'll work on it for next week. Grady, moving along, fixtures next week.
Fixtures for this weekend are Bulldogs versus East Perth, so South Freo, East Perth.
Yes, that's good. South Freo absolutely charging
back
along.
A win.
East Perth beat the Eagles last week.
Both winners, but yeah. I think South are pretty coming in
they're
strong.
This
is also their home game, so see how this one pans out. We have the Sharks versus Perth. Perth coming off the back of a loss, so we'll
see
if they're...
Their first loss of the season, so they'll be fired up.
Or could be in the opposite direction, we don't
know. The Sharks also from their first win of the season,
yeah,
so they'll
so
be fired up
they
as
will
well.
Be very fired up. Then Tigers take on Subi. That will be a big clash
that
to me. Maybe we should go to that one.
Yeah, definitely, because that'll be one to watch. But Subi, will they bounce back after not having lost for a year?
Will they be very fired up, or will Tigers just be continuing their stride?
Claremont smell blood and know that these guys can be beaten and want to knock them off.
And coming off the back of their win against Peel, we'll see how we go. And those, I hope those crowd are not there again this weekend, because they were really annoying. And then we have the Swans taking on the Eagles. Eagles lost last week, so did Swans. So both losers, see how they go. See how they turn around and bounce back. And then West Perth versus Peel Thunder in Joondalup.
Okay.
So
we'll see how Hughes bounces back.
Hughes will kill it.
Let's hope so.
He's a legend.
Monday Waffle. It's now time for our favourite segment, Grady. If you ever want to get in touch with the show, let us know at the Facebook page or comment on any of our posts. We'd love to hear from you, what you want to hear on the show, etc., etc. But it's now time for this, which I'm sure is your favourite.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Great, it's been very topical this week, and it's just us this week, so we've got no one else to bounce our ideas off. So
that's right,
just
we're pretty strong-minded.
Me in the rumble. This week I'm posing the question to you, and I already posed it to Steve Butler earlier, but where is the line when
what
it
line?
Comes to a spectator jeering an opposition or a team they're not going for as opposition player? So how far can you go where it's all fine, and where's the
can
line
can we break it down
far?
Into booing and heckling and abuse?
Well, yeah.
Because booing, okay, I'm all for booing. I boo myself.
Okay.
But mostly at the umpires, I'm
but
not going to lie.
But everyone in a stadium only booed one player for
I'm
the
not
other
for
team.
That. Absolutely not for that.
Yeah, absolutely not.
So what do you reckon?
So where's
my line is, okay, I'm on booing a bad kick or a bad call or not a bad kick because I can't kick myself.
Yeah.
So I only boo bad calls. But
bad umpires.
Boo,
so you just stick to the umpires?
No, yeah. Well, sorry, if it's a bad call, it's a bad call. Like, so I'm pretty into my football.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I'm not the kind of person to stand up and scream and spit and swear.
Yeah.
I just give a bit of a boo.
Boo,
like,
yeah.
Not happy about that decision. Like, come on, you know? And then swearing, absolutely no tolerance at all. And heckling one player, absolutely no tolerance either. Like, having some mates who play waffle, who play AFL, it's devastating to see the impact that this game has had on them mentally.
Yep.
And to see the likes of some absolute stars retire because of mental health issues, like Tom Boyd the other day. You see him hanging up the boots on when he's on $1 million a year.
Yep.
Like, you can just see this. Like, this game does have an impact, especially in today's society when social media is so dominant. And, like, it's hard not to read the bad comments. Like, as much as you want to, like, knock it out and not see it, you do see it. So, and having that turn into live matches and have people just yell abuse at you, like, there is, we're all human.
Yeah.
There's a certain tolerance you can take of people yelling at you.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you reckon?
Well, I think if it's purely football, like, I think obviously, as Steve said earlier, if you take out racist, religious, sexuality,
yep,
things like that. They're all obvious givens that are just not on. Mm-hmm. If it's based purely on someone's playing and a crowd chooses to pick someone for a day, which is horrible, but like a boo, like booing of a player, that's just because they're playing really well, you know? I reckon some players would say, that's fine, that's part of the game.
Yeah.
But I think, obviously, there's an unwritten rule in society, and you feel it in your heart if you're watching a game, and there's a line you cross. So I think that's why it's hard, because it's nothing set in stone, but sometimes you're in a crowd, you hear people booing, it's just that that's not in
when
good
I was,
taste.
When I heard, that's the line. Yeah, it's when the I line heard what was heart. Going on, I felt sick. I was like, the hairs on my arms are standing up. I just felt like, why are you saying this? He's not doing anything wrong. He's not looking at you. He's not talking to you. You're not his friend.
Yeah.
Why say it? Like, if you can't say it to his face, why say it from, like, screaming it at him when he is so, defenseless? Yeah. Nah, it really annoyed me. Are we agreeing?
Yeah, we're agreeing on the Monday Rumble. Which can happen from time to time.
Now, Andrew, I have a lighter topic for the Monday Rumble.
Okay, yep.
Long sleeve or short sleeve traditional jumpers?
This is one where I think I really like the long sleeve Guernsey when it's used from time to time. You know, I wouldn't want every player to be wearing it, I don't think.
See,
I think
Justin
Longmuir
used to wear it for Freo, and I loved that. Loved him doing it. Yeah, yeah, but I just, it was cold on Saturday. I totally understand, but I just, keep it to training. I think they all should be pretty uniform, you know?
Yeah. No. I reckon the players, so we're agreeing to disagree.
That's good. We're keeping pretty traditional here.
Well, that wraps it up for this week. We couldn't have Harry McCracken on, by the way. We mentioned that at the start, but we were unable to get a hold of him. That is fully our fault. We've let this drag on a bit later tonight than we should have.
He might be at training, so good on him. He's not on his phone. On you, Harry.
We'll get him
on next week, because he's a star.
Thank you for tuning in. Let us know any feedback. That's all we've got.
Happy Monday.